Good morning and welcome to the Vineyard Christian Fellowship service. Yes, it is online and we are have been enjoying spending time together, Barry and I, and praying for all of you and seeking and searching the Lord's heart for what he would have for you. Right now, the government is loosening the tight restrictions on gathering. And so I just want you to know that Barry and I and leadership, we're like praying, we're looking into possible future, near future services. So please watch our emails and be prepared. We are going to have protocols we put together and ways to keep all of us safe, keep you safe. But just let you know that we are working on that and we love you and we're looking forward to spending time together. But right now, I encourage you to get your favorite morning beverage and to sit down, because Barry has an amazing message to share. And I am going to pray, because the Almighty God wants to come. His Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of us. And so let's invite him in. Lord, I invite you. I invite you, I invite you, I invite you. I know you are here because we are the church, but I invite you to speak into each one of us. Lord, I ask that you would give Barry the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge that you are speaking to him right now to speak to all of us. So Lord, bless us in our hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. And
you know, this morning, I want to talk about something that really is truly deep in my heart. You know, this last week was our final week in the book study, The Power of the Blood Covenant by Malcolm Smith, which I just thought was a fantastic book. And so I thought it would be good for me this morning to reinforce the message of that final chapter. The chapter is titled The Friend of God. And although the idea that we can be the friend of God, the all-powerful creator of all that is, should in fact amaze us beyond our wildest dreams, but it is a deeper reflection that I want to center on this morning, and that is to truly know and be known by God. You know, of course, to be someone's friend includes the concept of knowing them. But the word to know in the Bible signifies something much deeper than just friendship. It is not sentimental, it's not sexual, but it is on the love level that God intends for marriage. And that's why we, the church, is called the Bride of Christ. Now, our vision statement as a church is to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. And we got this vision statement from Paul's prayer to the church in Ephesus. It's Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. And it says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Now, you know, the longer that we have this vision or mission statement, the more I like it, the more I am convinced that we hit something prophetic here, something that strikes at the very core of what it means to be a Christian, to be a child of God. Now, here are some of the high points that we see in this text. For instance, his Spirit in your inner being, God in you, God with you, God dwelling in your hearts through faith, rooted and established in love. Think about that. His Spirit is in you, God is in you, Christ is dwelling in your heart, and it's all established and built on a foundation of love. Of whose love? Well, his love. The answer is found here in the text. And he says that we would have power power to grasp, which means power to know. Think about that, church. It's not power necessarily to heal, although that's good. It's not power to conquer over our enemies, although God gives us that. But it's power to know something. To know what? How wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for us, for you? That is whose love the promise is talking about. It's Christ's love for you. Wow, to know that love that actually surpasses knowledge. And in that, it leads us into the fullness of God, to be filled with all the fullness of God. To know God and to know His love. It's an experiential knowledge. It's a profound relationship. God is more concerned about this reality in your life, I think, than anything else. More than your success in ministry, more than your study of the Bible or theology, more than your knowledge about God. God wants you to know Him as your, as His friend, but even more than that, as, you know, your closest, deepest relationship, your Abba Father, your older brother Jesus, or your Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Think about all the ways that Scripture tells us that God wants us to relate to Him. It's all relational. Someone we are meant to know, not just know about, but to know deep in our spirits. Now, this may seem like Christianity 101 to some of you, but if we are honest, many people struggle with fully experiencing this kind of dynamic relationship with God. You know, I have a fairly analytical mind, and, you know, I often wonder, how do I know if I'm hearing God's voice or if it's just my own thoughts? And some of us are less emotional than other people. We're less driven by our emotions, so hearing God seems elusive to many believers. And I believe there is, in fact, a humility in showing some, let's say, uncertainty that God is speaking to you that we should all embrace. What do I mean by that? You know, well, we need to test things with God's word, with God's character. We need to check our egos at the door, and we need to sometimes ask other people, get input. Do you think this is what God's saying? But remember this, that a knowing relationship with God is a promise from God. We see that in Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34. And let's look at that right now. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now, the new covenant that was sealed by the blood of Jesus is what Jeremiah is talking about prophetically in this text. God's laws are going to be written in our hearts. He will be our God, and we will be His people, and we will all know the Lord, from the least to the greatest, for all of our sins will be forgiven. There's going to be a leveling of the playing field. Do you see the promise here is all about truly knowing God? Everyone who believes, and it's not going to be based on merit, but it is for the least to the greatest, because all of our sins are forgiven. That is awesome news. Jesus' life and His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead has fulfilled the covenant promises of God from both sides, both our part and God's part. That's what the incarnation is all about. God became a man and He represented us, and He died in our place and He paid for our sin. And this covenant promise of God has been sealed with the blood of Jesus. We enter in by grace alone through faith. And the result is we can know, truly know God. The promise is not just for those who can sense his presence better than others. It is for us all. I find it helpful to remember how God spoke to Elijah when I am listening for his voice. It's in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, when I read this text, it reminds me that when it comes to hearing God, we expect something powerful or earth-shattering to happen. But most often, his true voice is in the still, small whisper, that whisper in our hearts that cuts through our suspicions, it cuts through our doubts and fears, and it speaks to the core of our issue, often with grace, with kindness, but even sometimes confronting our issue with ringing clarity. You know, that is the promise. You can hear his voice, but not so that you or I can become a big deal with a big ministry. Remember, it's from the least to the greatest, but simply because God has promised this type of relationship is for all of his children. You know, I must admit, and maybe it's my age, but I'm less impressed than I used to be with big conferences, with slick speakers and teachers and the big show. What excites me now more than ever is seeing simple, ordinary people like you and me, for that matter, discover that God does speak to us. And more than that, he wants to be our friend. To discover that you can know God and that God does truly know you. One of my favorite scriptures about this is in John chapter 10. Let's read that together. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, this is one of my favorite passages. But I had never really seen how many relational knowings there are in this text before. Have you? Remember, the words to know someone in the Bible means so much more than just intellectual knowledge. It is talking about truly knowing God like a loved one. Well, look at all the knowing here in this text. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name, meaning he knows you. He knows your name. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then the real kicker, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I want you to understand how powerful this really is. The new covenant promise of God that Jesus purchased for us is so that we can have the kind of relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Spirit that Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit have with each other. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe I should say that again. We can have the kind of relationship with Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit that Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit have with each other. And that should blow your mind. And if it doesn't blow your mind, you're missing the implications of it. Everything that Jesus did in his ministry, he did because the Father showed him or told him what he was doing. The miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, healing the sick, raising the dead, it all comes out of this idea that Jesus knows the Father and the Father knows him. Now, because I have such an analytical mind, I love to study the Bible, to read all kinds of commentaries and books about God. I love to know more about God, and that's a good thing. But if that becomes my default mode, it will hurt me more than really help me. It is important to remember that we need good scholarship. We don't want to become anti-intellectual. It is so important and it is so good that we can learn from people who have given their whole lives to the study of God's Word. That's so important. However, I have seen it happen to people in high academia, and I've even felt the pull a little myself. The study about God with all the different schools of theology and various ways of interpreting the text, it's called the great discussion. That's what theologians call it. But it can rob you of any expectation of truly being able to know God personally. Everything becomes theory. And somehow, what we need to do, church, is we need to be able to be continuous learners about God, because we can never, ever be able to fully mine all of the depths of who God is. But at the same time, we need to maintain simple, childlike faith. For without that, it's impossible to please God. We must believe by faith that through Jesus and the fulfillment of the new covenant promise of God, we can know God, truly know him. God wants us to know him, and he pursues us constantly towards that end. So how do you move from knowing about God to truly knowing God? It's not that knowledge about God is unimportant. We must hear and understand the gospel in order to respond to it. But what I mean by understanding the gospel is a little bit tricky. The gospel is the good news of the new covenant, which God purchased for us by Christ at the cross. We need to know we are lost and we are broken without God. We need to see our need for grace and forgiveness, church. We need to see God's enormous love for us in all that he has done to win us back to himself. But figuring it all out analytically and having it all make sense is not really what I'm talking about here. You know, when we hear the gospel, there is a tug from God. We may not fully understand it all the first time we read it, but we somehow know that it rings true. The gospel, the Bible says itself, is the power of God unto salvation. What we need to do, church, is to surrender to the truth of God's grace. We cannot earn it. We do not deserve it. We don't make plans or promises to clean things up first, to get our life in order, and then we'll come to God. No, we surrender to the God of the promise, and we believe him. You know, in most of life, we've learned to understand something in order to believe it. But with this, we have to go with the great fathers of the faith, people like Augustine and Anselm, who said, we believe in order to understand. We believe it and we receive it. And then, church, we need to act on it. We pray and we spend time with God in both a prayerful and listening posture, believing that God's promises are true. When we read his word, we do it in a prayerful posture, asking his spirit to speak to us as we do it. And we also remember this beautiful promise in the book of Hosea, Hosea 6:3, and it says this: let us know, hear that, church, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn, and he will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. As God pursues us, church, we pursue him. We press on to know the Lord. But there is a promise, and this is the promise. Just like the dawn comes in the morning, just like the rains come in their seasons, God will come to you. You will find him. You will know him. And he does know you. Bless you all this morning. I'm going to now get Nancy to come back and pray with us. Well, welcome back. Nancy's here now, and she's going to pray for us and also has something to share.
But. Yes. Well, while Barry was preaching, I just want you to know that I, even though I'm not in the picture, I sit very close and I listen, and I listen to what God might be saying to add. And so I'm going to read what I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And so I'm going to share it with you. And it's just that whole word known, to be known, and how important it is for each of us to be known. If you think about it, in our own lives, when you have taken an offense, what is it that really has happened? Someone has not known you and judged you to be someone you are not. Judge what you have said, which has never been in your heart or your intentions. But God knows you, and God knows me, and God knows us. And yeah. It says in scripture, and I'm going to read it. I was writing my notes on my notepad on my phone, but it says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Now, I would like to challenge each one of us, and I'm not talking about just you, each one of us, to rest in the love that God has for us, to actively seek to know him more, because you are fully known by God, fully known in your thoughts, fully known in your heart, fully known in your feelings, fully known. And I just want to challenge you, because it's a place of peace and rest that you will land. So let's pray together, Barry, and let's pray for everybody who's listening, and thank you for that word. And God, I just lift up to you right now, all of us who are listening, all of us who have a need to be known, to be understood, to know the deep hearts of who we are and who we intend to be. But Lord, I pray that as we press in to know you, that we understand how deeply we are loved, how deeply we are known, and how deeply we are understood, and that it can only come from one source. We cannot find it in our work. We cannot find it in our spouse. We cannot find it on the only place that we will find you is you.
Yeah.
So Lord, come and meet every single person who is listening. Lord, that your words will go deep into their soul, deep into their spirit, and they will understand, and they will have an awakening of your perfect love, your perfect peace. And I just ask you to come in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 And remember, we are looking at shifting things in the next while. I don't know whether there'll be a video or we'll be meeting at the church next week or trying to do that. But anyway, we will let you know. God bless you. Have an amazing day today. Yes. And we love you, and we look forward to seeing you all again
soon. God bless.